is up. It is me, George G. We've got another awesome episode of the Aligned Money Show coming your way featuring Bob Elliott. He is the co-founder, CEO, and CIO of Unlimited, an organization using machine learning to create low-cost index replications of the 2 and 20 style alternative investments like hedge funds. He is a former investment committee member of Bridgewater Associates, and he was the head of Ray Dalio's investment team. We had a great conversation, started, of course, with Two Truths and a Lie, moved on to the future of the 60/40 portfolio, talking about where alternative investments fit into one's overall mix of investments, talked about prudent strategies, talked about how botany and investing are similar. We've closed with a great difference-making tip. I know you are going to love it. Let's go. Bob, to get us started, give me two truths and a lie, please.
Well, I have worked in some unusual work environments. So I thought I'd do it in the work context.
Great.
To give people a flavor of my experience. Two truths and a lie. I've got, I once was reprimanded for installing my own light bulbs in a ceiling. Number two is I was once told that I couldn't meet with any external clients because my bag was too ratty. And number three is while I was working at the world's largest hedge fund, junior people became concerned about whether they were ever going to get paid because the car I drove was so cheap that they thought that maybe more experienced people weren't actually making any money.
Wow. Those are awesome. Reprimanded for installing your own light bulbs. Your bag is a little too ratty to be client facing, and your car is not impressive enough for the younger folks. My goodness.
I know it's a tough couple.
It is. These are excellent. I think that the bag too ratty is the lie.
Oh, wow. You got it. You got it. It was in fact not the bag. It was my suit was too ratty. The one suit that I had, which I bought in college to do original interviews and was still had something like 10 years later, was my primary suit, because most of the work that I did was building investment strategies where, you know, one's quality of one's suit was not that important. So he said I had to go get a better looking suit in order to meet clients.
And as I will have already let people know, you spent a long time at Bridgewater. Was this while you were there?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. All right. So it's not not a buttoned up culture necessarily.
No, certainly not. Certainly not. In terms of the apparel, it was not buttoned up. In terms of the secrets, certainly very buttoned.
Different deal there. What kind of light bulbs are we dealing with? Are these just average run of the mill light bulbs? Are we talking
No. These are the special, the fluorescent ones. When I started working, I was actually in the basement, literally in the basement of the building, and it was a bit dreary. And so I thought, hey, I bet I could get something a little more upbeat around here. The head of facilities at the time strolled by and said, how the heck did you get those light bulbs, those new light bulbs in there? And I said, well, I stood on my chair and I installed them.
The old-fashioned way.
The old-fashioned way.
Now, were these like strobe lights? Did they like have a certain mood?
They're just brighter than the dingy. You know, I'm sure you've been in a dingy office building that hasn't, you know, no one's thought about for many, many years. And so I was just trying to spruce it up a little bit for me and the people around me.
Totally get it. Totally get it, man. And are you still a guy that is not necessarily concerned with the kind of car you drive, or has that changed?
No. I have always driven cheap cars. Cars are a consumption item, not a investment item. I was actually just talking to my wife about how my current car is, I think, 10 years old that I'm driving around. It works, gets me from point A to point B. No need to get too stressed about it. The problem with nice cars is that you get stressed about if something happens, it gets dirty, something like that. You know, you don't need any of that stuff. Just buy a car that gets you around and you'll be happy enough. And
that's right.
The nice thing is if you always are driving an old car, then when you get a new old car, it seems very new to you. Like, wow, the innovation here is incredible. Yeah. It's all about, you know, that's part of in the financial markets, you know, how things transpire is, you know, what happens relative to expectations. You know, the same is true in your consumption patterns. If you always have an iPhone that's like five generations back, when you upgrade, it'll seem like an upgrade for you.
I love everything about that. Is there any part of your life where you run contrary to that? Food, entertainment?
Yeah, I spend on nice salt, which I find to be a very critical cooking ingredient that is underappreciated. So fancy sea salts is the extreme of my consumption.
I think that is awesome. You know, you used to fight wars over this stuff, so we should have a deeper appreciation.
Right. That's right. Yeah. And you'd be surprised at how good salt is. It's not that expensive, but it's worth the effort.
Okay.
In all sorts of different cooking and environments. So definitely something to check out.
Well, that is awesome. I love it. All right. Those were solid and I lucked out. It was just a blind guess. Just a blind guess, man. All right. Well, in terms of the world of investing, what is top of mind for you right now?
Well, I think, you know, for me, one of the big things I'm wrestling with is whether what the outlook is for the 60/40 portfolio. You know, I think the sort of typical investor in a 60/40 portfolio has done pretty well really over the last 18 months or so, as inflation has come down, as, you know, the economy has been stronger than a lot of people expected. You know, it wasn't that long ago when people said there was a 100% chance of a recession coming soon enough. And, you know, we've passed the point and there is no recession yet. And so I think the challenge with that is that it now has created an environment where what's priced into these markets is now something that is going to be difficult to achieve. On the equity market side of things, you know, we've had a heck of a run-up since those October 22 lows, on a combination of very high expectations related to AI and the growth that would come as a result of it, combined with an expectation of significant easing by the Federal Reserve, and then finally sort of exacerbated or pushed even higher, I should say, in recent weeks by expectations of the election of a new administration. That combination of things is basically pricing in extremely high earnings growth and outcomes for the U.S. economy at a time when, you know, the economy is not doing poorly, but it's certainly not booming. And the continued tight monetary policy that we have seen is continuing to weigh on the economy. And so I think it's going to be challenging on the equity side. And then you go over to the bond side. And what you see there is that things aren't quite weak enough. Inflation hasn't been quite defeated enough for the Fed to start a quick easing cycle. And right now, 6 to 7 cuts are priced in over the next 14 months or so. That's a lot of cuts. That's basically one cut every meeting starting in September. And if that doesn't happen, bonds are not going to be a good offset to any stock weakness because they're already pricing in significant cuts. And so you put those two things together, that's a pretty likely a challenging environment for the 60/40 portfolio ahead. And, you know, the reality is most investors in one, you know, have something that is close to the 60/40 portfolio. And so that could be a meaningful challenge for many investors, kind of like what we saw in 22.
I appreciate that. So you launched Unlimited going on 2 years?
Yeah, that's right.
And how has it been? Has it been exactly what you expected?
well, it's certainly it's been quite a ride being an independent creator of financial products is always challenging, because the deck is stacked in favor of those with high distribution capabilities and not necessarily stacked towards excellent products. It's also been a challenging environment, frankly, for anyone who hasn't been, you know, YOLO NASDAQ. That is a circumstance that happens at times in markets where, you know, equities meaningfully outperform for an extended period of time. And I think it highlights sort of a story that always exists when you're investing, which is prudent asset management always underperforms. It always underperforms the thing that is very strong. And so if you're in the market, you know, trying to build products that help to create a prudent investment strategy, you know, time, you need time in order to prove that thesis out. And so, you know, it's been 2 years. We set about to replicate how hedge funds are positioned and how they perform. We've been able to do that pretty well with our technology. So we're happy about that. But it is certainly, I think, if you talk to a lot of product issuers, a challenging environment for anything that isn't, you know, all in on NVIDIA or NASDAQ.
Mm-hmm. Now, you were, when we spoke last year, you used and probably always have everything the technology has to offer you. At that time, I don't think that we were all talking as much as we are today about AI. How, if at all, has it changed what you're doing with Unlimited?
Yeah, I mean, AI, I think it's interesting being a systematic investor for something like 20, 30 years. There's always been incremental tools available, more innovative tools available to help with, you know, analysis and reasoning. And, you know, it's just 20 years ago that looked a lot different than what it does today. And the computational capabilities looked a lot different back then than it does today. And so I think I would sort of look at something like AI. And really, when we were talking about it, most people are familiar with large language models. That's another step in the historical evolution of these sorts of technologies, and another tool in the quiver, another arrow in the quiver for people who are building systematic approaches. And so it's not the appropriate solution to every problem. In particular, ChatGPT and other LLMs are not great at reasoning. They're good at summarizing, but not independently reasoning. They're good at text. They're not good at numerical probabilities, things like that. And so they have a particular place that can be useful. A lot of what we do with our replication is oriented around machine learning approaches, so more quantitative oriented probabilistic inference. And that sort of field has been very rich and has advanced a lot, and always is consistently advancing. And so less about the LLMs that have become a little bit more popular in pop culture, so to speak.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So looking ahead, we have no idea what's going to happen, but assuming that the 60-40 portfolio does struggle a little bit, that doesn't necessarily, and then the conversation about how a prudent approach takes time, because it's not necessarily the most exciting thing. It's tortoise and the hare. Prudent is the tortoise and the hare is NVIDIA, and then the next big thing that's going to come along. How do you advocate that people use alternatives? And when I say people, I mean ordinary retail investors use alternatives like Unlimited.
Yeah, I think for most investors, finding, you know, diversification is the key to success. That really is the key to creating long-term wealth creation in your investment portfolio, in your savings portfolio, your investment portfolio. And so there's a couple different ways you can do that. Alternatives are very are useful because they provide often a return that can go both long and short financial assets, whereas most investment opportunities are long only. And so having a portion of your portfolio in those alternative investments can be valuable to help cushion during times of down asset market environments. The other thing I'd emphasize is that you have the ability to, you know, while most people are focused on a 60-40 style portfolio or have something akin to that, there's other assets out there that can be very beneficial to create diversification. For instance, gold is a is rarely invested in and has return properties that are actually, you know, better at cushioning stock declines than bonds in many cases. And we've seen that circumstance play out over the course of the last couple of years, where, you know, gold has done quite well and has been very diversifying the stocks. It's actually had returns that have been a bit higher than stocks since the beginning of the year. And yet very few people think about gold as part of their strategic portfolio. So alternatives in gold both provide a nice avenue for diversification, particularly in light of a portfolio that might not, a 60-40 portfolio that not might not deliver the returns that people have expected, you know, come to expect over the last 18 months.
Do you have thoughts on the best place to own alternatives? Is it inside of a qualified plan? Is it inside of a non-qualified account?
Well, I'd say the best place to own alternatives, I'd sort of flip the question a little bit and say the best way to get access to alternatives is to look for low fee or low cost opportunities. And, you know, if you go back 10 or 15 years ago, like basically the only way you get access to alternatives is investing directly in fund LP style structures. And the world has really come a long way in the last 10 or 15 years in terms of making those sorts of investment opportunities available, both at without needing accreditation or high income or savings or assets, but also making them available in more tax efficient structures like ETFs and at much lower cost. And so whereas, you know, before it was pretty challenging, honestly, to get access to those sort of alternative exposures. Today, looking in the alts category, particularly in ETFs, I think can be very compelling. There are a lot of great products that are out there that can provide that diversification benefit to a portfolio. And basically, all of them are under 100 basis points of annual fees, which is pretty low in comparison to sort of the typical 2% fixed fee, 20% of performance fee that would come with most alternative strategies.
Yeah, just slightly less expensive.
A lot less expensive and also more tax efficient, because if you're a saver, you know, taxes matter. You know, what you care about is the net of fees, net of taxes outcome. And for many investors, ETFs in particular are the best investment or the best structure because they're essentially just a tax loophole. And so, you know, instead of paying ordinary income, you can pay capital gains typically if you hold those securities for more than a year. I know taxes aren't the most exciting thing to talk about, but they matter at the end of the year.
100%. So I've got an off-the-wall question for you. How do you think botany and investing are similar, Bob?
I think that's a great question. You know, my academic training is in botany, and in particular, my training was in something called systematics, which is basically how the various plant systems interact with each other. If you remember from your old days, xylem, phloem, those sorts of ideas, you're probably dusting that off in the back of your mind, thinking about that, the water and nutrient transport systems in a plant. That was the focus of a lot of my work. And in a lot of ways, you could think about the macroeconomy and markets as similar, which is there are complex systems, each individual piece of which can be understood, but it has to be understood in the context of how all those pieces intersect with each other to create the macro environment, whether it's, you know, the equity market, the economy, or in the plant case, an actual plant that you're looking at. Mm-hmm. So it's very similar, I'd say, in the way of thinking. That sort of systematic approach or systems approach to thinking about how things play out over time. So it's been very valuable for me, probably a different perspective than most people who are in the markets, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, certainly. But I can definitely see how they're very, very, very similar. We like to, as investors or just as human beings, compartmentalize things and say, oh, this is my 401k over here. It's separate than my investment account is over here. But in reality, it's all the same ecosystem.
Right. For sure. And that's sort of from the pieces to the whole and the whole to the pieces and how the pieces interact with each other, I think is something that is very common to sort of the sciences, the life sciences. And I think it's, you know, when you're investing or trying to generate unique returns or products in the financial markets, you have to have a unique perspective. And so, you know, everyone who came up looking at the world through the lens of, you know, an economics textbook will have very similar worldviews and probably won't be able to have non-consensus ideas about how the world is likely to transpire. And so I think you find that people who are in markets for long periods of time who can generate, you know, differentiated returns over time very often have non-traditional backgrounds in terms of their thinking, whether it's music or engineering or the life sciences or physics. I think it's always interesting to hear that and a good sign that someone probably can bring something different to the table.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Well, Bob, we're ready for your difference-making tip. What do you have for us?
Well, I think probably the going back to what we were talking about before, I think probably the biggest difference-making tip is to add gold to your portfolio. You probably don't hold gold. And the vast, you know, 99% of investors don't hold gold in their portfolios. And even those that do hold something like 1% on average. And it is a uniquely diversifying asset that complements bonds as a diversification tool towards stocks. And in particular, in the sort of environments that we're seeing looking ahead, that might be higher inflation, higher deficit type environments, gold in particular has proven out to be a good diversifying asset in those sorts of macroeconomic environments relative to bonds. So look for gold. There's lots of easy ways to do it. Probably the easiest way is there's a suite. There's a bunch of different ETFs that you can go out there and buy. And it's liquid, low cost way to get exposure in your financial accounts.
Well, I think that is great stuff. It definitely gets a come on. Bob, thank you so much for coming on the show. Where can people learn more about you and how can they take advantage of the work you're doing with Unlimited?
Yeah, for folks who are interested in our work making these alternative strategies and hedge fund insights available to all investors, check out unlimitedfunds.com, where we have a lot more information about what we're doing there. And then for those of you who might be interested in sort of more day-to-day takes on what's going on in the global macro economy and markets, definitely follow me either on Twitter at Bobby Unlimited or on YouTube, where we have a channel of various clips and interviews that I do, also at Bobby Unlimited.
Excellent. Well, if you enjoyed as much as I did, show Bob your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to unlimitedfunds.com. And it's been fascinating to learn about you a year ago and to follow your work. And it's really interesting how you've created a new opportunity for folks to be able to take advantage of hedge fund like investing at such a fraction of the cost and ease. So definitely check that out. And you can follow Bob on Twitter, Bob E Unlimited, and also YouTube. And I will link all those in the notes of the show. Thanks again, Bob.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having me.
Finally, a friendly reminder, there's never going to be anybody more interested in your financial success than you are. So act accordingly.